Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, page 1331 in your Scofield's Bible. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. We'll read through verse 11. The text verse is the ninth verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this special passage of Scripture. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, and together also on the 11th verse, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. On this last Sunday of the year, we pause to say thank you for a wonderful, wonderful 1999. We ask you for your help, though, in this service. We thank you for the ability to be up and about and out to this church and to assemble ourselves with Christian brothers and sisters and to be among friends and to be among those who also visit with us. To those who've come home for the holidays. It's a wonderful, wonderful gathering of thy people. But we have needs. And we need thee, our Lord, our Savior. And we believe that these needs are often met through the preaching of thy word. So help us to be attentive. We need something from our God. And we trust thee to speak through the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I pray, let me read for you one verse that you read a while ago without your turning to it. John, bear in mind, was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled. I mean, here's a fellow that is taking a stand for the word of God, for the testimony of the gospel. Now he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion, notice the next three nouns, in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at me. The word John said, I was there for tribulation. That word means pressure, strain, burden, heartache, anything it causes pressure. And then he said, in tribulation and in the kingdom. Now that word kingdom there is a small k. It's a word which means power. Strength. He said, I am in, on the Isle of Patmos, in a companion, in tribulation, that's pressure. And then he said, in the kingdom, and that's strength. And then he said, and patience. I was speaking this morning on the subject, pressure, power, patience. Pressure, power, patience. I'm going to ask you in a few moments, not yet, but in a few moments I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you if you had this year, a serious problem, a bereavement, a heartache, a heavy load to bear, a real burden, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Our heads would be bowed when I ask you to do that. But I want to see the hands of all those who would say, sometime in the last year, in 1999, I have had a tribulation, a heartache, a burden, heavy load to bear, bereavement, sorrow, serious illness, death in the family, something like that. Would you bow your heads, please? Now, before I pray, how many of you would say, preacher, my hand is already up, by the way. I wonder how many of you would say, preacher, I join you. Sometime since January 1st, 1999, I've had a serious illness, a loved one of the serious illness, a heavy load to bear, problems, serious heartaches, heartbreak. Would you lift your hand? Mine is up. Would you lift yours, please? Keep it up. You may drop your hands. Our Heavenly Father, to these I speak this morning, and I pray you'd help me to do what they need, and to the others, may they store up for the future strength because of the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that your mind is on 1,000 things this morning other than church. I know that. Now, I want you right now to block out everything you've done this week. I want you to block out every plan you have for next week. And I want you to think of three words: pressure, power, and patience. Let me first explain what John means here. He was on the Isle of Patmos. Listen to me now. On the Isle of Patmos, he was alone. He was exiled there. And he said, I'm here for the tribulation. That's pressure. Then he said, and kingdom. The word kingdom in the Bible is the word for power, authority, if you please. He said, I'm here for pressure and for power and for patience. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying, I have the pressure of being in exile. I have the pressure of being persecuted because of the gospel. But he said, from that pressure, are you listening, comes power or strength. Then he said, since that pressure has come, and since it brings power and strength to me, I am going to be patient and accept it. Now, that word patience means holding up under the load. Hey, you raised your hand a while ago, and you said that you have had during this year a heavy load, a heavy burden, a heartache, a sorrow, a bereavement, a serious illness, a death of a family member. Now, John said, I too have pressure. He said, that pressure gives me strength. And since it gives me strength, I'm going to hold up under this load so I can get the strength that I ought and want to have. Now, follow me carefully. Normally, pressure is considered undesirable. Problems, burdens, heartaches, heavy loads, normally they're considered undesirable. Yet we fail to realize that pressure is sandwiched in between two wonderful things. Listen carefully. I'll hear what they are. Here is pressure right here, and that is not much fun. It's not much fun to carry a heavy load. It's not much fun to carry a bereavement. It's not much fun to carry a heartache. But there are two things that cause a sandwich here, and pressure is sandwiched between two wonderful things. The first thing is what causes pressure. That's wonderful. And the second is what pressure causes. Now follow me. In the first place, what causes pressure? All right, watch me carefully, and I'll show you what causes pressure. I, right now, am causing pressure against me. Why? I'm moving. Movement causes pressure. If you have no movement, if you have no pressure, you have no progress. It is progress that causes pressure. All pressure is caused by movement or progress. Walking creates pressure. Running creates pressure. Rising creates pressure. Climbing creates pressure. The car, automobile, as it moves, creates pressure. The plane, as it lifts from the earth, creates pressure. The boat, as it travels in the water, creates pressure. The climbing creates pressure. Exercise creates pressure. So the way to avoid pressure is to be still and climb no mountains, sail no seas, run no races, seek no progress, attempt no victories, and make no journeys. Just sit there and do nothing, and you'll have no pressure. But you decide to do something, and you're going to have some pressure. Because pressure is something that is in itself not desirable, but it is caused by something most desirable, and that is progress. So progress causes resistance and opposition. If there is no progress, there is no resistance, there's no opposition. Gravity does not oppose you until you challenge it. Bob, stand up. He challenged gravity. Now, gravity says, sit down. Thank you, Bob. Now, as he is right now, about to take a nap, no problem whatsoever. But when you challenge gravity, then gravity opposes you. You lift a foot, climb a stair. You go higher, and gravity will attack you. And so this morning, if you're here, and if you had you raised your hand a while ago, congratulations, you've made some progress. Congratulations, you were doing something. Congratulations, you are honored. It says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, why did they suffer shame for his name? Because they were making progress. They're building a great church. They're getting people saved. They're doing something for God. Let me suggest that you decide in 19 or 2000, let me suggest that in 2000, you decide to make some progress. You decide to climb higher. You decide to do something for God. You decide to become a success. But I warn you that following that movement, following that progress, there will be pressure. So, no movement, no opposition, no pressure, no stress. I have caused all the pressure that I have, I've caused it. It's my fault. I led you in starting a bus ministry. Back under 40 years ago, we started a bus ministry. Within a few weeks after we started the bus ministry, 7 multimillionaires came to me and said, we're going to leave the church, and we're going to see to it with foreclosed on the church property unless you get rid of all those bus kids. Now, the honest truth is, bus kids sometimes bother me also. But the honest truth is, they happen to be human beings. They happen to be going to heaven or hell, and somebody needs to care for them. Now, I'm saying, I didn't get these, as long as when I first came here, we made not much progress. I was getting acquainted, and one of these rich men had me to his store, and he gave us $9,000 in new drapes and curtains for the house and put it all in. And another one of these multimillionaires took me out to dinner and bought me a new suit of clothes. Why? We hadn't gotten started yet. But bless God, if we got started, they wanted the suit back. He came and tore down the curtains and tore down the drapes. And so what happened? Pressure, it was not much fun. Not much fun at all. Well, Ms. Hiles and I were invited to go out to eat to this multimillionaire's house. And they set us around the table there, just the four of us. I was over here, Ms. Hiles over here, and the rich man here, and his wife over here. And they'd flown in. I'm not kidding. They'd flown in all the food from Europe. I mean, they bought the food in Europe and flew it over here for that one meal. They had French fries, Polish sausage, yeah, and all that stuff was flown in here, German chocolate cake and so forth. And we were sitting there enjoying, and we had no problems at all. I was the young pastor that came. I was being wined and, I'm sorry, I was being Coca-Cola'd and dined, and I was the young pastor, and there we sat. We got about halfway through the meal, and she said, Pastor, have you joined a ministry association yet? Well,
I didn't want to cause any trouble. So I said, not yet. You call that pussyfooting. I said, not yet. You know, I mean, I don't mind having a fight, but I can fight better on a full stomach than a kind of empty stomach. Now, I wanted to finish that European meal. So I said, not yet. We ate a few bites more, and she said, are you going to? And I said, I'm going to pray about it. You call that compromising. Oh, Jeff, shut up. And she said, let's pray about it now. I pushed the chair back right in the middle of the meal. And I said, I said, sir, to him, I said, you have a certain business that you run, and I'm pastor of First Baptist Church in Heaven. I said, now, if you ever need any advice about your business, you call me and I'll give it to you. But I said, until you call me, I'm not going to bother you. And I said, if I ever need any advice about whether to join the Ministerial Association or not, I'll call you. If I need advice to have run my business, I'll call you. But until I call you, you keep your nose out of my business. I don't know why, but he got upset. He pushed his chair back. It was a winter day. Walked on a night, walked over to the closet, got our coats right in the middle of the meal, and opened the door. I think he was trying to tell us to leave. Didn't even give us a doggy bag. And we walked out. Now, hey, you know what caused that man, that woman to ask us questions? You know what caused him to stop the meal? You know why he kicked us out of his house? You know why? One thing. Movement. Progress. Had we not started the bus ministry, we'd have had no resistance. Let me say something, brother. Once you have known some kind of success, and once you have known the joy of success, it makes the pressure all worthwhile. But you're not going to have any pressure unless you have some progress, and you're not going to have any joy if you sit there without any pressure, because that means you've not made any progress at all. I started Hammond Baptist Schools. We did. I led you in starting it. The next day, after we announced it, the attorney for the Hammond School District came to my office the next day. And he said, Reverend Hiles, he said, you're about to do something that you can't do. I said, what? He said, I understand you're starting a high school. I said, that's right. He said, you can't do that. I said, watch me. He said, you just can't do it. I said, why? He said, I don't know why, but there's bound to be some reason why you can't do it. He sat there and he challenged me. Why, he said, I'll take you to court. I said, I don't care. Take me to Supreme Court. We're starting Hammond Baptist High School. Now, I mean, we had a struggle. Now, if we had not started Hammond Baptist High School, I've not had that struggle. I've not had that pressure. If we hadn't started our bus ministry, I wouldn't have had that pressure. And you sit there and do nothing to fill up about 18 inches or more today of pew and do nothing. You'll never have any pressure, but you'll never make any progress. And so, thank God for pressure. My friend pressure. My buddy pressure. My pal pressure. I thank God because of what caused you, and that was progress. I started an aggressive soul-winning ministry. We started going house to house, soul-winning, buses everywhere. The Hammond Ministerial Association had a special meeting to discuss me. And they were not going to give me an honorary doctor's degree. They passed a resolution against me at the Hammond Ministerial Association. Some of you visitors are wondering what I am. I'm an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation. Hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling Baptist preachers, what I am. But they passed a resolution against our church to call her proselytizing. I don't even know what that means. But I know what soul winning means. I know what witnessing means. And so, now, if we had not started an aggressive soul-winning ministry, we would not have had the pressure of the Hammond Ministerial Association. If we had not started the bus ministry, I could have eaten that whole meal there at that house that night. And if we had not started Hammond Baptist Schools, we wouldn't have had the pressure from the attorney of the public school system. Hammond, I'm trying to tell you,
I don't like pressure. I don't enjoy it. I don't like battles. I don't like problems. I don't like heartaches. I don't like them. But
I like what causes them. Then we started Howell's Livingston College. I had some undesirable students, but in fact, remember, when we started Howell's Livingston College. Immediately, I got a letter from the State Board of Education saying that you can't have a college in Indiana unless you're accredited by the Board of Education or an accrediting association. They called me on the phone and said, "We understand you're not accredited." I said, "Yes, we are." They said, "The North Central Association?" No, I said, "Due North." And they said, "What city is that located?" I said, "The New Jerusalem. That's where it's located." They wrote me a letter and said, "You've got to be accredited." I filed it. It's a round thing, about that big around, about that high. I filed it. I got another one. I put it on top of the first one. We had to go to court. And bless God, we won the case. And the only accreditation we have is in the heavenly city. But I'm trying to say, we went through it. But if we had not started the bus ministry, we had not had the pressure from these rich men. If we had not started Hammond Baptist Schools, I'd not have had the pressure from the attorney of the Hammond Baptist School System. If I had not started Howells Henderson College, I wouldn't have had the pressure. I'm trying to tell you, if you have pressure today, you look up and say, "Thank God I've been making some progress," because progress causes resistance and opposition. I started the blind ministry. Lo and behold, if we didn't make the headlines of the national blind newspaper fighting us. We started ministry for Educable Slow, and right now we're in a lawsuit for $1 million because you folks over here, God have mercy on you. The Pathfinders. The pressure. I've been under now for over 2 years of a lawsuit, $1 million lawsuit against us. Wouldn't have happened without. But I tell you, I'm willing to have a lawsuit to get those people over here. I'm willing to fight the State Board of Education to get Howells Henderson College. I'm willing to have a bunch of rich people not like me, rich bus kids. I'm saying, keep on climbing, keep on rising. It'll cause opposition, it'll cause resistance, but that's wonderful because that means you're making progress. We were became the largest Sunday school in Hammond. About 1962, we got more opposition. We became the largest Sunday school in Indiana. About 1964, we got more opposition. Became the largest Sunday school in the world. About 1970 or so, we got more opposition. Why? Because the faster you run, the more resistance you have. You're saying the law of gravity, I challenge you, and the law of gravity says you move and I'll fight you, but it'll cause resistance, but that means you're making progress. I said, nobody wants heartache. Nobody wants pressures. Nobody wants burdens. Nobody wants a heavy load. But it's sandwiched in between two wonderful things. What causes it, now follow me carefully, and what it causes. What causes opposition, resistance, hard times? What causes opposition, persecution, resistance? Progress. Secondly, what it causes. What does resistance cause? Strength. Strength. You see that muscle right there? I didn't get that laying in bed. I got that from exercise, turning over in bed. The strongest person here is the one who has fought resistance the most. For resistance brings strength. You guys at job, what you're doing is you're making progress, but you're sweating and you're hurting and you have resistance, but you get stronger and you'll never get stronger without resistance. Strength is caused by pressure. Strength to make more progress, to cause more pressure. To make more progress, to cause more pressure.
to make more progress, to cause more pressure. So progress brings resistance, and resistance brings strength. And strength brings more progress, and more progress brings more strength. More resistance, and more resistance brings more strength. So what strength you've got, you keep on moving for God, and you'll find resistance. But then you get strength from that resistance, you move faster for God, and that brings more resistance. But you get strength from that resistance, and you move faster for God, and that brings more resistance. I'm trying to say, that heartache you have today, I'm looking at Dave and Linda back there, the little five-year-old boy, was crushed beneath the wheels of their car this year, but they're stronger than they were last year. Why? They've kept on going, they've not turned back, and they're stronger. I'm saying, keep on going, and you'll have more opposition when you keep on going, but you'll keep getting stronger because you get stronger by resistance. I'm 73 years old. Ms. Howes will tell you that I study incessantly. I spend much of my life studying. You know one reason I do? I'm 73. I want to keep my mind working. I saw her father at 73. I was out in the back porch one day with him. We were there visiting, and he said, "You see him back there?" I said, "Who?" He said, "Back there in the alley. Those men, they're against me. Those fellows back there, you see them? There are no fellows back there." He was the age I am now. Thank God I don't see any people in the alley. They're all out in the street. I don't want to get like that. I don't want to. And one reason, I keep on making progress mentally. I keep on learning. I keep on studying. Why? Because I want my mind to stay strong. And if my mind stays strong, I've got to keep moving. And I've got to keep making progress. And ladies and gentlemen, in 2000, year 2000, you decide in every area of your life that's right and good, you're going to make progress. I promise you, you'll have resistance. I promise you'll have opposition. I also promise you, you'll get stronger. I was sitting on the platform at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and I used to preach up there. Dr. Myron Cedarholm, my good friend, for many years, had me every year for 22 years. Every building he dedicated, I brought the dedicatory message. I was up there preaching a number of years ago. He had just reached 70. He was sitting on the platform with a glass look in his eye, staring. I walked over and could tell that something was wrong with him mentally. The time he's the age I am now, he was almost reaching senility or Alzheimer's. You say, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, that's why I study. That's why I try to make mental progress. That's why I keep learning. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if there is no progress, there is no resistance. If there is no resistance, there is no strength. And bless God, I want to get stronger. So pressure increases the strength of life. Hear this. Pressure increases the strength of the life it strives to destroy. Let me say it again. Pressure increases the strength of life it strives to destroy. Opposition contributes to the very life it is persecuting. So the forces against us are our friends. I'm talking about the fellow who kicked us out of his house. We had to go to McDonald's to get some European food. I'm talking about the attorney from the Hammond City Schools. I'm talking about the State Board of Education saying we had to be accredited by the education. I'm talking about that. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I don't enjoy persecution. I don't enjoy opposition. I don't like to fight. I've said again and again, I'd rather be in the Guinness Book of Records than the Fox's Book of Martyrs. But bless God, every time I've had persecution, that's a sign I've been moving somewhere. And when the persecution comes, I'm stronger and I can move faster and do more. So keep on making progress. It'll cause resistance, but the resistance itself will make you stronger. Opponents then, or our friends. tribulation is my friend. They come because of movement and progress and give us the opportunity to get stronger and make more progress. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The church persecuted is the church powerful. And the success is the direct result of resistance, which is the direct result of progress. You can decide for yourself. You can decide for yourself by how much resistance and opposition you're willing to take. No misunderstanding. Don't go looking for opposition. Don't go looking for battles. Just keep on progressing. That'll take care of themselves. But keep on growing and keep on progressing. Now, one last word. You're thinking about, some of you, becoming a child of God. You don't know if you die or if you go to heaven. You're not sure that you're saved this morning. And you're thinking about becoming a child of God. May I say this? The minute you step in the aisle, pressure starts. Satan starts the pressure. And the minute you get saved, it may be some of your family members will cause the pressure. But the wisest thing you'll ever do is to get up when you sing after a while, walk down that aisle, and say, I'm not going to enter a new millennium without being able someday to rule and reign with Christ during the great millennium. I'm not going to do it. Walk down this aisle, get yourself saved. Resistance will come, but I'll promise you this. That very resistance will be your friend and make you stronger, which will give you more strength to make more progress. Which will give you more resistance, which will give you more strength to make more progress. Which will give you more, for example, I'm going to meet resistance right now because I'm climbing up here. I right now am challenging the law of gravity and it's attacking me. But the resistance made me strong enough. I think I'll climb two steps this time. When I start climbing two steps, the law of gravity begins to fight me because it never enters into opposition until you make progress. Pray for me I can make these two steps. Lord, for me. Now, I made more progress. I had more resistance. And this morning, in 2000, I'm 73 years old, been pastoring this church over 40 years. But bless God, we got a building program we're going to start. I got some plans about a new institution we're going to start one of these days. A home for the aged. Just two of the aged. Beverly and Jackson names. But I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, set my feet on higher ground. But as I go higher, more resistance. But praise God. More strength. You decide how successful you want to be by how much resistance you can take. And you can take the resistance because you make the progress. You'll get more strength to make more progress, to get more resistance, to get more strength, to make more progress, to get more resistance. Would you bow your heads, please?